us, Lord.
Father, we thank you so much that you are here. Help us to know that you are here, Lord, because two or more are gathered in your name, and your promise is that you are in our presence. Father, you are all we want, and you are all we need, Lord. You provide every breath that we breathe, the ability to be here, to worship you this morning, and every daily need that sustains us as we journey through life. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come before you, to share with my brothers and sisters, Lord. And I pray right now that you would unite us as one, Lord, and that you would help us, even as individuals, but together as Christians, as this country is in need of your assistance now, Lord. Father, help us too, as Christians, as your church across the United States, join together to demonstrate your love and your peace, and to use your words and to follow your example, to redirect us, Lord, in the direction that you want our country to go. Father, I pray, Lord, that where there is hate, that it would be erased, eradicated, and replaced with your love, Lord, that covers a multitude of sins and brings health to us individually in our relationships, Lord, and to our country. Father, I pray right now for those in our congregation who are in need of a special touch from you, Lord, who are struggling through difficult circumstances with loved ones. And I pray, Lord, that there would be restoration, that there would be answers, and that anxiety would be removed and your love and your understanding would be brought forward. And Father, the issues and struggles could be worked through. Father, I pray for the safety of a very dear sister who is in need of you, Lord, especially right now, and for her mom who waits patiently for her. Lord, I pray selfishly, Lord, for my grandson, Cade, who was born 3 months too early this week, Father, and I pray that you be with him in his tiny little body and that you minister to him even right now as my beloved church family prays for him with me. Father, I ask that in these moments, as we come before you to learn more about you, to know you better, that our hearts would be touched in ways they have not been touched before. They would hear from you in ways that we know that, without a question, it was you, and that we would do what you have called us to do faithfully, because you're the one who told us to, and we love you, Lord. Use this time, make a difference, Lord. And make that difference in your kingdom. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, gee, Ernie. An hour on this lake and not one bite.
Mm-hmm.
Where are all the fishes?
Oh, they're down there, Bert.
They are?
Sure. If you'd like, I'll catch some and show you.
Oh, you will?
Mm-hmm.
Easy as that.
Sure.
Ha! Okay, here's a pole. Go ahead, show me.
I don't need a fishing pole, Bert.
What?
Mm-mm.
Well, how are you going to catch all these fishes without a fishing pole?
Oh, you see, I call them. I have this special fish call, and they come right into the boat.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
You call them?
Mm-hmm.
He calls them. That's rich. This I gotta see. Go ahead.
Sure.
Call them.
You see, Bert, I have to call them really loud, though, so
yeah,
they can hear.
Yeah.
You know, the fish are under the water.
Sure.
And so you have to call real loud so they can hear you through the water. You
sure,
know?
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I call them like this. Fishy, fishy, fishy. One fish?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll call a few more. Fishy, fishy, fishy. Two fish? Shall I call a few more, Bert?
Yeah, yeah, how do you do that? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, just like this. Fishy, fishy, fishy. Three fish? Four fish? Five fish.
Wow. Ernie, that's terrific. Let me try, okay?
Sure.
How do I do it?
Just make sure you call real loud,
just,
Bert.
Okay, just real loud. Got it. Okay, here we go. Fishy, 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 fishy.
No, Bert.
What?
That's not loud enough. You're calling very quiet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fishy, 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 fishy.
Mm-mm. Still too quiet.
Too quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go now. Yeah, fishy, 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 fishy.
Well, that's not loud enough, Bert.
Okay. Fishy, 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 fishy! Ernie, it doesn't work for me. I've been trying to call and call, and they just don't come up.
Well, that's the way, Bert. See, you got it now. You're yelling real loud. So you have to yell just like you're yelling right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, fishy, 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 fishy!
You cold?
That's one for you, Bert.
All right, the truth comes out. I am a Sesame Street junkie. It's a very sad thing, and as a children's pastor, I think I come by it naturally. Sesame Street was born the same year as me, so we grew up together. So when I thought fishing, I always think of Ernie and Bert going fishing. Now, if only fishing were that easy. Just go out in a boat, scream and yell, and have the fish just jump into the boat. And it's the same way with evangelism and helping people to come Christ. If we could just say, here, fishy, 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 and they would jump into the church. That would be absolutely fantastic, but that's not really how it works. And today we're going to talk about the importance of doing what God says when Jesus told us that he needs us to go and be fishers of men or fishers of people. So grab your Bibles and you're going to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. All right, starting with verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." If you're in the NIV, it now says fishers of people. Immediately they left their nets and followed him, and going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that your word shares the importance of your call on each of our lives to make a difference in your kingdom, Father. Help us to have our eyes wide open today as we hear from your word and we seek to know what it is that you want us to do, and as we seek to lead others into a relationship with you, Father. We thank you for this time, and we pray that each individual heart would be changed and impressed upon in the way that you want it, Lord, and that the results would bring you glory and honor for everything that we do through your strength. In your name we pray. Amen. Point number one, not messing around today, is plan. Point number one is plan. We are talking about Jesus at this point, where he has already been baptized. He's been in the wilderness and tempted for 40 days, and then he begins his ministry. And the first part of his preaching ministry was to call disciples. That is the first part of his plan. He wanted to create a team of disciples. Now, we need to keep in mind that this is back in its context. Go way back, guys. There was no social media. There was no television. There was no telephone. There were no cell phones. There were no printed books. There were no newspapers. The only way that God's word was going to spread was going to be word of mouth through people. That's how it was going to happen, and we need to keep that in mind. So here Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he calls out to Simon Peter and Andrew and says, "Follow me. I will make you fishers of men." The plan was that Simon and Andrew would follow Jesus naturally, and he would make them, create in them the ability to be fishers of men. Because they weren't there yet. They weren't even close to being there yet. And how unlikely would it be for Jesus to go and call lowly fishermen to become adept in preaching sermons and instructing converts in faith in God? A little beyond our imagination, I think. And here's the similarity to us, as God calls us likewise in Matthew 28, his word transcends thousands of years, he calls us to go and make disciples of all the world. And the question we ask is how unlikely it is that for me, an imperfect Christian, to go and attempt to lead others into a relationship with Christ. I can't do that. I don't know how. I'm not good enough. Not true. Do you think for one moment that Simon, Andrew, James, and John, uneducated fishermen, felt ready for what Jesus was about to have them do? Do you think they were ready? They really didn't know at all. Most of us, we're pretty well educated. We come to church on Sundays. We participate in reading. We can read our Bibles. We know a lot about God. We can research it. We can know what he's up to. These guys had no clue what he was up to. They didn't have a clue what they were stepping into on the outset of this. So why is it so hard for us to do as they did? They stepped out with childlike faith. And we don't have to step as far as they do. And it's difficult for us. But you see, Jesus had a plan. And his plan was to educate his followers so that they would be able to spread the news of salvation while he was long gone. And you know what? That plan? It worked. As a matter of fact, it's still working. We're still doing it today. We're here. Because God had a plan. He got his disciples. His disciples spread the news of salvation, and it continued to spread. And here we are in 2017, and we know Jesus. He had a plan. And part of that plan is that we are the people that are now carrying on that work. Yes, us. And you're thinking, oh, no, not me. I can't do that. I'm not gifted enough. That's Pastor John's job, or that's Pastor Meg's job. Wrong. It's part of my job. But it is not my job alone. It's your job too. All right, I'm always amazed, when someone comes to me and says, here, would you help lead this person to Christ? Well, yeah, I can do that, and I will do that. If you brought someone to me, yes, I would help them come to have a relationship with Christ. But here's the deal. Why can't you? Anyone who has a relationship with Christ and knows the love of Jesus can lead someone into a relationship with Christ. Is it perfect? Is there a script? No. Do I lead someone to Christ the same way every single time? No. Wait a minute, let me pull out my paper. Okay, this is the first thing you have to do. No, that's not how it works. You know how you ask Jesus to become part of your life. Share it in your own words. Help them in your own words. It's your job. It's part of a pastor's job, yeah, but it's not only my job. You guys can do this too. So Jesus had a plan. We've determined that. But you know what? We also need to have a plan. Did you know you need to have a plan? And I'm not talking about a psycho in your face plan that's like you need to be Jesus or you're going to die, or standing on the street on Main Street and South Street with a sandwich board that says turn or burn, okay? I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm asking you to do. Everyone is different, so everyone's plan is going to be a little different. My plan is a multifold plan, okay? And I never actually really thought of it as a plan, but years and years ago, when I first started going to school, I had to meet with this group of people from the Wesleyan Church from Western New York, and they are called the DBMD, or District Board of Ministerial Development. And every year, as a pastor, and you still get to do it now, you fill out this 500-page report, well, not quite 500 pages, of everything that is going on in your life and your relationship with Jesus, almost right down to how many pairs of underwear you have in your drawer. I mean, they want to know everything. And you have to sit down and think about these things. So I'm sitting there, and I get to the question, and it says, the question that really kind of messed me up is, what is your personal method of evangelism? I'm supposed to have a personal method of evangelism? I didn't know that. But when I got to thinking about it, I really kind of did have a personal method of evangelism. I just hadn't really plotted it out or wrote it down on a piece of paper or anything like that. But I kind of did have a plan. And I'm going to tell you guys that you need a plan too. And you might already have one and not even know it like I did. But you need to have a plan. Jesus had a plan. I have a plan. You need a plan. We should all have a plan, okay? We need to always be ready. So let me share with you my plan. This is my plan that I didn't know I had that I have. The first one is, every day, be open to whatever God has planned for me every single day, even if it's somewhat inconvenient. And let me tell you, most often when God's going to do something, it's inconvenient. It's just a plain fact of the matter. What God is planning trumps anything that I have planned every single day. And it's generally inconvenient. That's the way it goes. That's how you're submitting to Christ, okay? And the next thing after of being open to whatever God has planned for me in my everyday is, who are the people that I know that really need to know Jesus? Who are those people? I pray for them. I take opportunities to go and see them. I keep inviting them to church functions and to church. Now, it's not in your face. Remember, it takes an average of 13 invitations before someone's going to come to church with you. 13. If you're only on number 5 right now, I don't feel bad for you. Keep going. You got to keep doing it. 13 invitations. Be faithful. Those are the people. And I'm going to search those people out. I know who needs Jesus. I know what will help them, and I want to help them. But I'm going to do it gently, I'm going to do it lovingly, and I'm going to be persistent as well. Gently persistent. Okay, the next thing we need to do is demonstrate God's love in everything. Well, I need to do is demonstrate God's love in everything that I say and do. Am I there yet? No. Am I a work in process? Yes. Oh, my goodness, I am. And some days I'm not feeling it, but I got to do it because God has instructed me to do it. So I need to share his love with people as much as I possibly can in what I say and in what I do. And the next one is I need to keep my eyes peeled every single day. Keep my eyes peeled, my ears wide open for anything that alerts me to a conversation with God or an opportunity to share my faith or an opportunity to share a part of my story where God made a difference. Always listening, eyes wide open. Pay attention, okay? It's what we would call constantly casting. Fishermen take and they cast their nets and they bring in a whole school of fish. Kind of like church, I think, maybe. But us, individually, we're going out every day, and for us, it's just like casting with a reel, rod and reel. Constantly casting. You go out and you go fishing, you cast, you reel it in a little bit, and nothing's happening. And then you cast out again and reel it in some more. Any cast that you make can catch a fish. And you keep casting, and you cast constantly. It's the same thing with people. Every day, you go out and cast a little love of God to other people and reel it in. And keep doing that faithfully. Eventually, if you're fishing, you're eventually going to catch a fish. The same thing's out there. If you're out there sharing the love of Christ, eventually someone's going to want to know what you know. Keep casting. And before we even do that, I want you to know right now, people are not projects, okay? They're not projects. They are brothers and sisters who are perishing, those who don't know Christ. They're not a project. They're someone you need to love, someone you need to have compassion for. That's what you need to do. People aren't projects, but you do need to have a plan. And I want to tell you a little story here, and someone in this congregation knows all about this story, but it's really just an amazing story. A few weeks ago, I went to Refresh Family Camp at Houghton College, and if you haven't been, I'm telling you, you really need to go there. It's an awesome time. Sorter Clan, is it wonderful or what? Yeah? They go, they take the van full of people from Belfast, and it's fantastic. There's seminars and games and swimming and food and all kinds of recreation, petting zoo, and an awesome speaker every year. They get an awesome speaker. And next year, I'm telling you right now, Mark Wilson. Remember when we did the Purple Fish sermon a couple of years ago? He's the speaker next year. Make sure you go to family camp next year. I'm like signing up now. This guy's phenomenal. But anyway, I went to family camp, and this year at family camp, once in a while, I have to teach a seminar. And this year I was teaching a seminar, and it was church outside the box, because that's what North Park does. We do church outside the box. We don't always do everything inside these walls. We do ministry that reaches people outside of the walls, so they asked me to do this seminar. But before I did the seminar, this was like on Tuesday morning, Monday night, I got so sick. Oh, my goodness. I was so sick. I ate something in the campus center or whatever. I had heartburn. I was up till 2:30 in the morning. I just wanted to die. I felt horrible, awful. And when I finally got to sleep, I woke up in the morning. It's like, oh, dear God, why can't I just stay here in bed and just die? I feel like garbage. But I promised to do the seminar. You need to go. So I get up, I get ready, I go, and I do the seminar. It was wonderful. We had a fantastic turnout. And there was this lady that was there. And I don't think I made a lot of eye contact or anything with her during the message, although I don't always know who I make eye contact with. But anyway, she came up to talk to me after the seminar. And really, I felt like total garbage. I just wanted to go hide in a hole in a corner somewhere and just die, okay? I just felt like horrible. But she started talking to me, and she was sharing a little bit of her story with me. And it was one of those moments, and God says, you really need to talk to her. You really need to talk to her. And I'm like, okay, I feel like garbage, but hey, I'm going to be open every day to what God has for me, even if it's inconvenient. It was inconvenient at that moment because I felt like I was going to puke my guts out, but God was good. And so we go over into a corner of the classroom, and we're sitting there, and we're chatting, and everyone's over there on the other side of the room chatting after the seminar. And she tells me a little bit about her story, about how she was raised and the church that she went to, and she had been baptized as a child, and all these things. And she really And she is just recovering from a very, very serious medical issue, very serious, and just had come home from that and was in recovery. And she shared, well, I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying, but something's missing. Something's missing, and I don't know what it is. I know what it is. Do you have a relationship with Christ, a true, abiding, deep relationship with Christ? Well, I believe he's there. You need a relationship with Christ. So I shared with her what that was about, and she wanted to do it without hesitation. She goes, yeah, I want to do that. Let's pray this. Let's do this thing. So we prayed together, and she accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. I'm sorry, guys. Family camp, okay? This is a camp made up of 99% pastors, wives, children, and people who regularly go to church who already have a relationship with Christ. What are the odds? That's just crazy. And I'm not saying I'm patting myself on the back here. I'm saying God does amazing things when we least expect it, and we need to be open to it at all times. This wonderful lady comes to church. She's actually here this morning. And this wonderful lady is planning on getting baptized as well.
Woohoo!
Woohoo, yes, woohoo. This is what I'm talking about, constantly casting. If there was one place that I was not going to be casting, or one place where I was not going to be looking to make a difference for God in a huge, impactful way on somebody who doesn't know Christ, it would have been family camp. It would have been Refresh. How am I not going to find a Christian on a Christian camp and not find someone who's not a Christian on a Christian campus at a Christian camp surrounded by a bunch of Christians? It happens. A life has changed. Always be ready. Have a plan. God's plan always trumps mine. God's plan trumped me not feeling well and wanting to go back to my townhouse and curl up in my bed and die. God had other plans that day, and I'm so glad he did. And when I talk to this lady now, it's so funny, we've had a couple of conversations, and she ended up there just kind of by chance, and she ended up at my seminar by chance. And as she's sitting there, she told me, God's like, you need to talk to that lady that's talking right now. She's the one you need to talk to. So she was obedient. She came and she talked to me. And her life has changed. God does awesome things when we least expect it, guys. Constantly cast. Even if you think you're in a pool where there's no fish to be caught, constantly cast. Jesus had a plan, guys. And we need to have a plan. And if I didn't have a plan that day, or I was unwilling to follow God's plan because I didn't feel good or whatever reason I wanted to give it, I don't regret that moment, and I will never regret that moment, and I don't care. It's past. I don't care that I didn't feel good. I was doing God's work, and that really makes me feel good. I'm telling you, we need to have a plan like Jesus had a plan. Point number two is program. Jesus had a program. We might not think, well, Jesus programmatic. I'm not really sure I get that. Okay. Not only did Jesus have a program, but he had a program. And his program was to take uneducated fishermen from by the Sea of Galilee and enroll them in his education program. His education program. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, and the other disciples were immersed into Jesus' program of spreading the good news of salvation. Verse 19 says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They weren't what he needed them to be yet, but he was going to make them into what he needed them to be. My friends, we are not there yet. But we are always, all of us, a work in progress, and he is making us into what he needs us to be. He's making us. But notice, Jesus' program for doing this, he didn't just sit and teach them stuff, although he did spend a lot of time sitting there teaching them stuff. A lot of what we read in the Bible, he was sitting there talking to them, having conversations. He did a lot of that, but their learning, his program of teaching, included working in the field. They went with him. They helped him. They helped feed the 5,000. They were sent out as ministers. They were out in the field. It was on-the-job training. On-the-job training. We're out in the field too daily, every single day. Not only individually, wherever we go and whoever we meet, but we're also out there in the field corporately as a church, as North Park Wesleyan Church. What do we do corporately? VBS, Wild Wednesday, Fab Friday, Ignite, Test Drive, Sunday morning worship service. These are the programs that we find make a difference in our community. Programs are part of our plan. Jesus' program was part of his plan. He instructed his disciples, and they went out, and they spread the word. And the word is still spreading today because of that program. This is part of your on-the-job training, okay? This is learning as you do it. And that's what a lot of us do. The disciples learned as they did, and that's what made a difference. You can learn as you do, and you will make a difference too. Everything I have done here at North Park, I did not learn before I did it. I learned as I did it, okay? I wasn't a children's pastor before I came here. Before I was just average Megan sitting in the pew, not your average Megan. I was average Megan sitting in the pew doing my own thing, working as a nurse, raising six kids, and occasionally teaching preschool at the library. I wasn't a children's pastor before I started here. Everything I did was immersion training. It was God saying, here, let me throw you into the deep end of the pool. Let's swim. And that's what I had to do. I learned as I went, and that's what the disciples did. Yeah, I had lots of conversations with Pastor John and other children's pastors, but the majority of what I learned came from on-the-job training. And it's the same way with you guys, too. You can sit here on Sunday, and you're going to hear the message, but getting out there and making a difference for Jesus is going to require some on-the-job training. You got to step out. And how do we know? How do we know that these programs are working? Fruit, plain and simple. Fruit. In the last 8 years, North Park has seen over 200 salvations. Okay, 200 guys through our programs and the support that we have here from our congregation. Okay. Last year, at some point in time, last year at the end of the year, I lost track at 200. I couldn't keep track. That many salvations. Woo-hoo! That many salvations. Thank you, Katie, for being excited and being here, okay? 200, hello, 200. I think we've gotten a little used to the fact that awesomeness of life change in people. We've gotten used to that because it's normal for us. It's the norm, and it should be the norm. It should be normal. But do not lose the fervor and excitement of a life changed for eternity. Don't lose that excitement. It is an awesome thing to know that even just one single individual person isn't going to burn in hell. This is good news, guys. And we've done that over 200 times. And it's awesome. And it's through those programs where people have to step out and be uncomfortable. Jesus had a plan. Jesus had a program. And the next thing we need to know is that we need to participate. In Matthew 4, we see Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John doing something just a little bit crazy that none of us would do, okay? They just walk away from their nets. No responsibility. They just walk away. They walked away from everything they knew, their family, from Zebedee, James and John's father. They walked away, and they leave it all behind to follow Jesus. And one of the questions I have when I get to heaven, I'm really kind of excited about this, is did they think they were just walking away for one day and ended up being walking away for years? Did they know what they were getting into? I don't know. I can't wait to figure that one out. But they walk away from their nets, and they follow Jesus. And historically, this would have been different had they not been that willing and obedient to follow Christ. Now, God would have made it happen, however, with or without their help. But God used them, and they were obedient, and they walked away, and they did what they were supposed to do. They followed Jesus' plan and program. And the disciples, in that moment, when they walked away, they committed to participate. They were going to participate. And it's the same way with us here at North Park. In the community or even around the world through our missionaries, none of this would be possible if we did not choose to participate. We have to choose to participate. VBS, in July, we had 24 salvations. 24. Now, that would not have been possible without the 45 people who chose to participate, make themselves absolutely uncomfortable, worn out, and exhausted in 5 days of insanity. They chose to participate in that. That's awesome. Wild Wednesday. Let me tell you about Wild Wednesday. It takes 11 volunteers every Wednesday to run Wild Wednesday. And these people, they walk away from their jobs, they take time off, they do something that's completely inconvenient. And why do they do this? They do this because in the years, we've led hundreds of children to Christ through this ministry. And let me tell you, it's not just the kids. These kids came to know Jesus, and in turn, they went home and told their parents, and their parents came to know Jesus, and then their lives were changed. Families were changed. This year, guys, North Park, okay? Katie, get ready to woohoo. This year, from North Park, three sets of families from Wild Wednesday, mom and dad, got married at North Park. three sets of families. Why? Because there's 11 volunteers who come in here on Wednesday afternoon and minister to these kids, and their kids go home and minister to their family. If you're thinking what we're not that we're doing at Wild Wednesday is a waste of time, it is not. And I can't do that alone. Don't put me on a bus with 72 kids and have me come over here and do that by myself. I can't do that. I'd rip my hair out. I'd go nuts. I'd quit, definitely. But it takes those 11 volunteers who choose, even if it's completely inconvenient, to participate. And lives are changed. Lives are changed. Thank you, Wild Wednesday volunteers. I know what you're doing. Test drive. We have a thriving mini congregation on Wednesday nights at the Perfect Blend who come to know more about Jesus. Whether they're new in the faith or they don't know God or they're just walking in off the street, people come to hear more about Jesus at Test Drive. And that doesn't happen without the support of our missions team and their prayer. Let me tell you, their prayer has gotten me through. It comes from their financial support of the missions team. This is an important and valuable ministry to our community. It is their mission. I have a snack team, a wonderful snack team. There's Judy Joy. She always makes us quite an assortment for wonderful snacks to feed these people who come to Test Drive. And we have a greeter, a fantastic greeter, a Wild Wednesday mom. Came to church through Wild Wednesday, now comes to Test Drive and ministers to others by welcoming them and chatting people up and making them feel at home. Participation is what made this happen. Was it a lot of hard work? Yes. Was it exhausting? You bet. Are we willing to do what God wants us to do? Uh-huh. Let me tell you, Wednesday afternoon after 72 kids of Wild Wednesday, in the dead of winter, and I go home and I sit down on my couch and I pull that Afghan up to my nose and I'm happy and comfy and reading a book, I don't want to get up and go do Test Drive it when it's 10 degrees below zero. But you know what? It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants us to do. So I peel off the Afghan and make my way and put on everything warm I can possibly put on and go to Test Drive because it makes a difference. Because God has called us to do it, and I promise to participate, and I'm going to participate. Ignite. I want you to think about Ignite for a minute. Faithful volunteers who have been doing this for years and years and years. These teenagers come in, and some of them already know Christ. Some of them don't already know Christ. They come to know Christ. Some of them are ministered to and come from really difficult situations. And hopefully, through the lessons and the mentoring and the just being there for these kids, hopefully along the line they're going to make some better choices than they would have otherwise. And you know what? We probably won't know the answer to that this side of heaven, but it's happening. It's happening through that ministry. Why? Because these people choose to participate every single week because it's important. It's important. Participation is imperative for life change. And I'm not just talking about life change, God's kingdom, everybody's life change. I'm talking about your life change too. When you minister for Christ, when you give who you are and you give what you have and you give of yourself and your time, God changes you too. God changes you too. Matt Baraka, he comes to 9 o'clock service. He is not the same person he was 4 years ago when he started working in Wild Wednesday. He's not the same person at all. Mercedes Torpy, here she is. She isn't the same person she was 2 years ago when she started stepping up in children's ministry. Mary Enos, our missions director, she's not the same person she was when she took over the missions team. Jennifer Whiteman for Ignite, she's not the same person she was 3 years ago. She's changed. She's helped change others' lives, but she's changed too. And I would hope we would not remain the same, because as we minister for Christ and we share more of his love with others, it gets into our lives, it seeps into our lives, and it changes us as well, as it should. Your participation changes God's kingdom, but it changes you too. Now, the difference between us and the disciples is that in most cases, we don't have to leave our families or our jobs or anything significant to step out and do what God is asking us to do. The disciples take a step this big. We usually just, here I am, I'll help. We don't have to give everything up to make a difference for God. He just called us to do what he's asked us to do. He didn't tell us we had to go anywhere, unless you're like becoming a full-time overseas missionary to a third world country. You're not gonna have to change anything very significantly to minister, but you should be changing as you're called to minister. Now, we have to come out once a week and participate in what God is doing in our community, in our church. Should we have to do that? Yes, we should do that. We should be excited to do that. It is completely worth it. People will not be spending an eternity in hell because we've done what God has asked us to do. When North Park does what God asks us to do in the community and individually and minister to our neighbors, guys, it's completely worth it every single time. I want you to think about this for a minute, okay? Do I want to play Clash of Clans or some other game on my iPad? Or do I want to play my part in helping someone come to have faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I'd rather play my part than play a game any day. There should be no question in your mind about what you should be about. We need to be out there with a plan. We need to be working through and participating in the programs that will help change lives. And we need to constantly be casting our nets and casting our lines to help others come to an eternal relationship with Christ. It should be part of our regular day, every day. And the last thing, point number four, is we need to praise. This is the fun part, guys. This is the part where we get to stop, turn around, and take a look at what God is doing and what he has done, okay? If the disciples were standing here right now, they could turn around and view the thousands of years since the birth of Christianity, and they could be up here saying, "Woohoo! It's still going strong! God's word is still spreading, and it started with us. That is so cool." But that's how it needs to be for us, okay? We need to take a moment, and we need to turn around, and we need to see what God has done through his ministries at North Park. He's chosen to use us. Woohoo! Yay, God! This is awesome. It's still going strong. Take a moment, North Park. Take a look. I'm not even asking you to look back 10 years. Look back 2 or 3 years. 2 or 3 years. That's all I'm asking you to look back. What's happened? People have come to Christ. People have been baptized. Countless people have been baptized. Tons of them, okay? Lives have been changed individually. Families have been changed. Sin struggles have been defeated. Marriages restored. And the list goes on and on. And you might not see it every day, North Park, because you're not either in the office or there's so many people here. There's just a lot going on, and we can't possibly keep up with all of it. But it's happening, and it's happening every day, and it's happening all of the time. God is at work, and we get to be a part of what he's doing. We don't have to be. We get to be. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's exciting. We get to participate if we choose to. It's a reason to party, guys. It truly is a reason to celebrate. And sometimes, even myself, I get caught up in the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And it's really easy just to keep looking forward and not stop and turn around and take a look at what's behind you. And in children's ministry, that's like there's always a next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing. What's the next thing? Wild Wednesday, Halloween party. I mean, these are the things that I'm thinking about right now. But sometimes we just got to stop. We've just got to stop, turn around, take a break, and see what God has done. And thank him. Thank him. Thank him for the lives that are saved. Thank him for the lives that are changed. Thank him that he chooses to use us, imperfect us, to do awesome and amazing things in our community. Thank you, God. That is awesome. Keep doing it. It's fantastic. See, the disciples, they dropped everything to follow Jesus. We don't have to drop everything. Our sacrifice is not nearly as great, but he's called us just as significantly as he has called them to make a difference in his kingdom. We need to keep doing what we're doing. We need to keep casting, okay? And if you already have a plan and you're already doing what you're supposed to be doing, good, keep doing it. Don't stop. Tweak the plan, make it better. It can always get better. My plan always needs to be tweaked and always needs to get better. So does yours. But if you're not casting, if you're not making a difference, I want you to remember this. Somebody invested in you so that you would know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Who are you going to invest in that needs to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Someone invested in you. Who are you going to invest in? It's time to pay it forward. And keep paying it forward. Don't stop. Now I get you might not feel ready to do this, okay? You might not feel educated enough, or you might not feel like you're called or that you know how to lead someone into a relationship with Christ, but I'm going to assure you today that you are. You are capable of this, okay? First of all, it's not done in your power. It's done in God's power, his Holy Spirit power, and you have to trust that he will provide the words and whatever you need to do when you are leading someone to Christ. You aren't going to understand it unless you've done it. But you aren't going to do it unless you take a step out and trust in him. When I lead someone to Christ, it's like, Wow, what just happened? How did that happen? That wasn't on my radar screen. I wasn't ready for that. How did I do that? I didn't. The Holy Spirit did it through me. He can do it through you. It's an awesome feeling. Let's do that again. Fantastic. I'm telling you right now, you might feel unworthy, but we are no less worthy, unworthy. We are no less unworthy than Simon and James and John and Andrew. They knew less than we did when they started out. God made them into who he needed them to be to do his work. God will take and make us in who he needs us, in us, who he needs us to be to do his work. We just need to be constantly casting and have the courage to step out. You need to remember, guys, fish, they're everywhere. They're everywhere, and we need to always be ready. Any cast you make can catch a fish. Save a life. Save somebody from eternity in hell. Is it worth it? It's totally worth it. Absolutely worth it. The Holy Spirit will work in you. Go and follow him and keep casting. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this time, for your word, that though it is thousands of years later, Lord, we can still trust what your word says and know that it will work in our lives. Father, I pray for anyone here in the room today who knows they need to be more courageous and take that step of faith and trust, Lord, that you will be there when it's time to share, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to all be aware every day of the plans that you have for us and know that your plans always trump ours. And Lord, help us to be ready for any inconvenience that might save somebody's life for all eternity. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do through this congregation. We thank you for what you have done. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless us and continue to use us because it is such an honor, Lord. And as we do this, let us always, forever, always recognize, Lord, that you are the source of our strength and give you all the glory, all the honor for everything that is accomplished here in your name. We ask these things in your name. Amen. If the ushers would come forward, we will take our tithes and offerings. Lord, we thank you right now for these, the givers sitting in these pews, Lord, that are going to give to you their offering, Father. I pray that you would take these offerings, that you would bless them, that you would multiply them, that you would help us to use them as good stewards to multiply your kingdom. And Lord, I pray a blessing on each of these people because of their generosity, Lord, because of their obedience to you and to your word and what you have called them to do. We ask this in your name. Amen. Don't forget to fill out the Fred books and pass them in and pass them back. Always forget. We would stand for the benediction. Father, we thank you for this day, and we ask that as we go out that we would adhere to your word, Lord, and that we would know your plan, that we would participate in your programs, Lord, and that we would be able to, Father, praise you for the outcome as we participate. Father, I ask that you would bless and strengthen every individual here as they go out into your world this week to have those conversations about you and to demonstrate your love wherever they go. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for using us. Let us and let our work be pleasing to you. In your name we pray. Amen.